Have you ever wondered why we call French fries French fries? Or why something is the greatest thing since sliced bread? There are answers to those questions. Everything Everywhere Daily is a podcast for curious people who want to learn more about the world around them. Every day, you'll learn something new about things you never knew you didn't know. Subjects include history, science, geography, mathematics, and culture. If you're a curious person and want to learn more about the world you live in, just subscribe to Everything Everywhere Daily wherever you cast your pod.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Welcome to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, the comedy podcast where advice flows like a refreshing mountain stream all the way to the pool of common sense. I'm Adam Felber, our resident lifeguard. And now, please welcome the woman cannonballing into the shallow end, Paula Poundstone. Welcome, Paula Poundstone, and thank you to tonight's house band, cellist Hope Easton.
You know, when you said I was cannonballing into the show, I was going to yell, look out! Yeah. And then the house band's music was so... It didn't seem to go with, look out!
I think it might, though. Here, could you give us that again? Just play that again, Hope.
Look out! Oh,
that,
yeah,
that
it
works.
Does.
Yeah, if absolutely works. It kind of makes it feel a little bit like a French film where somebody drowns at the end.
I haven't seen that film. Yeah. Are there many French films where someone...
It's kind of like all of them. If somebody's going to drown, a cello's playing.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
I hadn't realized
Back me up,
that.
Hope.
I hadn't realized that.
Yeah, see?
Help! Help!
Right,
blum,
exactly.
Blum, blum, blum.
Life, yeah. That isn't that how life always is.
No. Hope, I should tell you, we are having a contest.
A contest.
With musicians coming up with theme songs for Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone.
It's true, and we have some interesting entries have been submitted to our email address or our website or wherever we do that. Three listeners have sent their theme song, and let's hear a little bit of some of them, right?
Yeah.
Here's one with lyrics from a man named Nick Rin.
This is Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, Style 78. Tempo 150, introduction A without accompaniment. Pound the stone, cause we're building a throne. Pound the stone, cause we're building a throne. Pound the stone, cause we're building a throne. Wisdom, ignore.
Okay, I think we get the idea. Yeah. So that's one. What I found interesting about that is he says it's without accompaniment, and that sounds like a lot of accompaniment.
Yeah, there was a whole high school marching band behind him.
Yeah.
You know, Hope, I'm going to give you maybe an advantage in the contest, which is I think if in the lyrics, if you use lyrics, I think if you include the word genius...
Right.
Or life-changing, the phrase life-changing.
Okay, now this is good on a lot of levels. Hope has something to offer that has no lyrics. I think the genius and life-changing is implied.
Yeah, yeah. Or so, it could be like the tequila song where it's just all instrumental and then,
a genius. Yeah, that's totally possible. Hope, do you want to offer a little bit of theme song? Yeah, you could add a little lyric, but for now, I would say just give us the music that you've written. It's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
It is beautiful music, right?
Yeah, it's very
potential
beautiful
theme
music.
Song. It's more than we're worth.
Yeah,
I think in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But I do want to, I have to lay one more on you because I love this one too. And I don't, I think Hopes is actually stronger than this guy. I'm not saying that. If I was speaking, here's what I'm going to say. There's a lot of candidates out there.
Yeah.
This one is more in the electronic dance music vein. It's from
Venko
Ivo Milich Diaz of Chile. A big fan of yours, apparently.
I'm so flattered.
Yeah. Let's hear it. Pretty good already, right?
Yeah.
And the beat hasn't even dropped yet. Wait for it.
Oh, there's a beat?
Oh, yeah. Drugs haven't kicked in yet.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Nobody listens to
yeah. I like the light show
genius.
That's going on in this
genius.
Room right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very trippy.
Yeah. Life-changing.
Yeah. All right, Jorge, I think we have a good sample of that.
I have a sense of the driving beat of, you know, I'm so flattered to have a fan named Venko.
Venko Ivo Milich Diaz of Chile.
Yeah, I don't think
and
I've
Venko,
ever had a Chilean fan one way or the other, actually, to the best of my knowledge.
Really?
Yeah.
You've never played Chile?
No, I have not.
Well, you'd sell at least one ticket.
Yeah, I'd pack the front row center. With just Finko's whole name.
That's
a long name.
You need
name.
Five seats for
yeah,
that name.
Boy, his mother. See, when I was growing up, if your mother was mad, she used your middle name.
What is your middle name?
Anne. Nothing exciting, just Anne.
No, that's
nothing. Yeah, so, you know, my mother would have, like, okay, if he had done something, she would have said, Venko Ivo Milich Diaz, you get in here.
Wow.
She would have said, your ass is my meat.
Right.
That's the sort of thing my mother used to say.
Wow. So her reprimand would have been actually shorter than the name she was using.
Yeah.
To call him.
Yeah.
She would have had to write new material. All right. So, Paula, this show is all about giving advice about issues that are of burning importance specifically to you. So, to kick off, what advice do you have this week?
Oh, I have very important advice this week. Never take your kid to an orthodontist that is sending his kid to college or putting on a deck.
Wow.
Yeah. Because
now, can you screen for that?
Yeah. You have to make anonymous calls and ask questions ahead of time. No, just ask them because they won't know why you're asking necessarily. But no, I'm telling you, you can have a kid with, you know, one crooked tooth.
Slightly crooked tooth.
And you go in there to a guy that's sending his kid to college and,
right.
you know, they'll be calling your kid gate mouth.
Really?
Yeah. Nothing but crooked. They're like, oh my gosh, they're like broken piano keys in there.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did this happen to you along the way?
It did. Yeah. My daughter Tosha has beautiful teeth.
Yeah. She always
absolutely
had a
beautiful
great smile.
Teeth.
Yeah,
she
absolutely.
Has a lovely smile.
Uh-huh.
And we were, the dentist said, oh, you might want to go to this guy for this one thing. And the next thing I knew, they're talking to me about, you know, 5 years and, you know, my assistant can help you with the payment plan. It was so fast. It all happened so fast. Yeah.
You just got scammed by an orthodontist who was building a deck or putting a kid through college.
Yeah, exactly.
What I would do is I think good advice might be to call your orthodontist and pretend to be a contractor offering a competitive bid.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. And if they're interested, then, you know, don't go to that doctor.
Yeah. Or say that you have a scholarship for his kid.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. You have to make two calls.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. That's sage advice, Paula. Absolutely.
Say, this scholarship for my kid sounds an awful like the same person who just called with the contracting deal. No.
It's not. I'm not him. I didn't even know it was a him.
Not him.
All right, so let's go through the lineup for today's show. We've got applied psychologist Dr. Gina Pingitore answering Paula's questions about why people buy things they don't want or need. A can of Flex Seal, anyone? Then Paula asks Jordan Leach, supervisor at Unbug Me Pest, how to get rid of rats. We're talking about the ones in her backyard, not the ones tweeting every morning. Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone comes to you from the Ray Horseman Studio, located on beautiful Miranda Avenue in North Hollywood. And we should point out that if we sound a little distracted on this program, it's because apparently there's some sort of haircutting event happening on the other side of the fence right here.
I can hear loud voices.
Yeah,
how do we know it's haircutting?
Ken Lezebnik came in with a very nice looking haircut, and the information that's what they're doing next door.
Oh,
an outdoor haircutting event, presumably near the discarded.
Outdoor haircutting event.
I opened the door.
Oh, you opened the door. Oh, Ken opened the door.
Oh, so it's actually in the building.
Yeah, he found the wrong door, and he opened it, and there was people in there
cutting hair. Wow.
Well, I mean, no shame in that.
Well, some shame in a recording studio.
I just think they're unusually loud for haircutters,
yeah,
that's all.
I just object to pop-up haircutting ventures, whereas, you know, I prefer the old barbershop sign, so, like, you don't...
They're rotating.
Haircutting doesn't seem like a flash mob kind of event to me. It seems like something that should have a stable presence in a place.
No, not new haircutting.
Really?
No, not modern haircutting.
That's what the kids are doing?
You know, Adam, I don't want to be rude, but you don't have hair.
I think you might have just right there failed on the don't want to be rude part, but go on, I'll allow it.
I don't understand like how much you could know about haircutting where the haircuts take place.
I had lots of hair at
one
point.
It was a long time ago, though, and haircutting has changed now. Just a guy in a neighborhood will begin performing haircuts, and then people cluster there.
Okay.
It's like dropping.
Well, I'll have to take your word for it, because it's not like I have a family all who get haircuts that I take them to or anything like that.
No. No, it's not like that.
No, it's not like that at all.
Yeah.
Okay. So, well, in any case, I think we've established, you know, in previous episodes that this neighborhood can be a little bit challenging.
It's a little bit challenging.
Yeah.
Yeah. I pulled up into a tree that was on the side of the road. I hadn't seen it.
Right.
So my car is now...
embedded in a tree?
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I had to break a branch to get into to get out of the car.
You just upped the property values around here.
Yeah.
All right. Well, our first guest survived the walk from her parking place to our studio, so let's meet her now. Hey, Paula. You know, every once in a while, we get a new advertiser that I get super excited about. And I have to say, just because of the circumstances of my life, right now, I'm really excited about our new advertiser, Quince, of Quince.com, the clothing provider.
Not to be mistaken for Quince from Midsummer Night's Dream. And let me just say this, and maybe it's not important to an advertisement, but when I was in the fourth grade, our class put on a production of A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Okay.
And I played Peter Quince. There's the connection.
One of the mechanicals. That's a great connection. Also, yes, has nothing to do with this, which is that Quince is an online clothing store. And as you know, Paula, I've lost a little weight lately.
Oh, right.
75 pounds. Yeah. So I literally have no clothes that are in my size until I just ordered some stuff at Quince. And I figured, like, here's a chance for me to create a new look for myself. A whole new image.
And how's it going?
Not bad. I mean, the clothes are fantastic. I know that you ordered some, too. What I got is the Comfort Stretch Traveler 5-pocket pants. And I got I got the 100% European linen shirt, and it looks breezy, and it fits beautifully. And these are like premium pieces of clothing that are selling for like, you know, $30 a piece or starting at $30 at Quince.com. It's awesome. I look good.
I ordered the brushed lounge jogger.
Ooh.
And, you know, I put them on when I came back from New York. I pulled them on, and I swear to you, okay, this is not scientific because I was tired already.
Right.
But they were so soft and so comfortable that honestly, like right as I got them up to my waist, I think my eyes closed. They're so, it's a softness. It's a kind of softness that I don't think I've ever experienced in a garment, honestly.
You know, my drawstring European linen trousers are a little bit like that, too. Like, so comfortable that I just want to hang out with myself.
Sure. Yeah. And they're European. Keep that in mind.
European. They are so European. And you can get those kinds. You can get washable silk tops. You can get 14-karat gold jewelry and, like, all these accessories.
Quince sells a lineup of timeless pieces that keep their customers looking effortlessly chic year after year. I'm not certain that I look chic, but certainly if I did, it's not going to take a lot of effort.
I now look chic, and I feel pretty great. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabric. It's all good as far as I can see.
Is it my imagination, or do they cut out the middleman?
They cut out the middleman, Paula Poundstone.
I love it when they cut out the middleman. That's the thing, they cut out the middleman. That's fantastic.
So be like me and Paula. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/nobody for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/nobody to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/nobody. And honestly, I look fantastic. Paula, you won't be able to keep your hands off me.
Oh, I can't wait. And don't think that if you had to return something, don't think you're sending it to a middleman because they cut out the middleman.
They cut out the middleman. That's quince.com/nobody. And if you're going to do it anyway,
use our code.
Hey, Paula, it's been almost a year now since I got my Helix mattress. And as you remember, there was some drama surrounding Helix mattresses.
Because
first sponsored us, Bonnie took the mattress and she's been loving it. But finally, I got my chance to get a Helix mattress and I sleep so well. I mean, the family bed is where we all gather. We watch movies in our room occasionally and everybody just piles on it and it's comfy. And yet when one person hops on, the other half of the mattress doesn't fly up. I'm a fan.
Well, you know, Adam, everybody is unique and everyone sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. Models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, enhanced cooling features to keep you from overheating at night. And if your spine needs some extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining individually wrapped steel coils in the base with premium foam layers on top. It is the perfect combination of comfort and support.
I agree with that last bit. I don't get all the technical stuff about the mattress, but it is soft and supportive. Helix offers 20 unique mattresses, the award-winning Lux, which I got, and ultra-premium Elite Collections, the Helix Plus, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and the Helix Kids mattress, designed for growing bodies and endorsed by child sleep experts, and my daughter now wants one. So, how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? You go to their website, take the Helix Sleep Quiz, and you find your perfect mattress match in under 2 minutes.
You know, when you said you can't follow all the technical stuff, it's really not that technical. You know, no matter what way you sleep, they have a mattress that will support and comfort you. How hard is that?
You know, when you say it that way, it seems a lot simpler. I take it back. That's my boner.
And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door, free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress.
Well, I like that there's a warranty, but they can pry that mattress from my cold, dead hands. I took the sleep quiz. I was matched with the Helix Midnight Lux. I got the Lux. And I love it. It is such an upgrade from my old mattress.
You know, I think Bonnie got the Midnight Lux.
She did.
Too.
Yeah.
You're not here. Don't want to take Adam's word for it? Well, you got Bonnie's word. Helix has been awarded the number one mattress picked by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors of sleep medicine as a go-to solution for improving your sleep. Your sleepy time pal Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners.
That's a lot, and it's already not that expensive a mattress. Go to helixsleep.com/Paula.
That's helixsleep.com/Paula.
This is their best offer yet. It's fantastic. It won't last long.
With Helix, better sleep starts now. Well, not right now.
And if you're going to get it anyway,
use our code.
A detective came and knocked on the door, and I said, "Is it Renee?" And he just gave me that solemn look.
It was the worst day ever.
The Proof Podcast is back with a new case and a new season. 23 years ago, 18-year-old Renee Ramos went missing. Her body was later found in an empty Home Depot building on the edge of town.
I don't think that they arrested the right people. It's about time somebody's trying to do something.
She had a black eye about 2 weeks before she was murdered.
They are involved. They definitely had her body and her backpack.
You know people are going to judge you, right?
Of course. They're judging me now. They've been judging me damn near my whole life.
You can listen now to season 2 of Proof wherever you get your podcasts. And follow along with us as we reinvestigate the murder at the warehouse.
I have to ask, did you kill Renee?
Thank you, house band Hope East. And Paula, our first segment started with you watching late night television.
Yeah, I watched late night TV. And, well, Flex Seal, actually, you mentioned Flex Seal. I have no particular project that would require Flex Seal.
I don't even know what Flex Seal is.
It's a spray stuff that that seals. It's like a spray-on stiff rubber. And you can spray it, Adam, on a screen, okay, like a window screen.
Sure.
And then mold that, and then use that window screen for the bottom of your boat.
But you don't have a boat.
I do. I remember that. No, you can create a boat.
No, you can't create a boat.
You can create a boat out of window screen.
Yeah.
And you spray Flex Seal on it, and no water gets in the boat.
Really?
Yeah. You got to stay up later. I'm telling you.
I feel like you have to go to bed earlier.
Yeah.
Do you ever buy this stuff?
I have not, but there's something about it that I see the Flex Seal commercial, and I think to myself, I really want to have that. And then I remember I have no... I mean, I'm experiencing some bladder leakage, but other than that, I have absolutely no use for Flex Seal.
I mean, Flex Seal help you with bladder leakage.
Well, exactly. So what I want to know is, what is it about commercials that make you want something that you do not need?
Great. Well, we're going to find out about the power of persuasion in advertising. We have an expert on the subject here, Dr. Gina Pingitore. She's a senior advisor at Newbridge Consulting. Dr. Pingitore, welcome to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone.
Well, thank you so much for being here. So what is it that makes me want stuff from an advertisement that I don't need?
Well, advertisers do a great job of forming messages that are relevant, persuasive, memorable, likable. And for whatever reason, that message certainly resonated with something in you that made it not only memorable, but obviously you have a lot of affect about it. We were interested about it. You remember it. You're talking about it. There's some classic advertising techniques, right? You team sex with the car, people are going to be interested in it.
Why a car and sex?
Well, who do you think buys most cars? Or used to buy most cars,
people
excuse me.
People with genitals?
Yeah, outer genitals.
You know,
I see what you're saying. I get what you're saying with that.
I have no interest in sex.
How about cars?
I don't really have much of an interest in cars. I don't think there's anything sexy about spraying Flex Seal on your window screen. I think I'm one of the few people.
The good doctor was saying that Flex Seal was appealing to your sexual impulses.
Yeah. I think I'm one of the few people to whom sex does not sell.
Right.
It perplexes. What about, and I don't know if I just go for the cheesy ads, like the crinkly hose ad. You know the crinkly hose?
No, don't know that one.
It's a lightweight hose that's made of like a sort of crinkly material. That... And then when you put water in it, and I understand that this is like a sex sells thing, but it's also functional. You know, when you put water in it, it hardens.
I don't think that's a sex sells thing. I think that's what the product does.
Yeah, it's what the product does.
Yeah, but I don't think they're using sex to sell a hose. They're selling a hose.
Yeah, no. Yeah, that's ridiculous. That's like the most sexually suggestive item that I can think of. And it's the one where you go, no, that's just a hose.
Dr. Pingitore, can you rule on this one? Well, you haven't seen the ad.
I haven't seen the ad, but I think you might be onto something.
Yeah,
I
sounds.
Don't.
Yeah.
I don't. All right, well, lest we spend the entire evening asking you about commercials you've never seen, let's get to J.B. Watson.
Oh,
okay.
Yes.
Now, he's considered the grandfather of modern marketing and psychology.
Well, actually, he's the father of behavioralism. He basically changed the shift of psychology from Freud and Jung and individual determinism to a belief that if you observe behavior over enough period of time, you can use that behavior to predict and change behavior. And that was extremely controversial.
So he's kind of like B.F. Skinner.
Give me an example. He actually predates B.F. Skinner. Actually, B.F. Skinner would be thought of as his student. As his Pavlov.
Fantastic.
This is 1913.
Oh, wow.
And 1913. That was back when, boy, they gave haircuts in one place.
Right. yes, that was in my heyday when I had hair.
Exactly.
Thank you, Paula.
1913.
But there's an interesting story about that.
So explain to me what you just said, because I don't understand at all what you just said about behavior. Give me an example.
Well, let me give you an example of his classic experiment. It was called Baby Albert. Baby Albert. And if you look in any textbook in Psychology 101, it'll be, you know, Watson and Baby Albert.
Uh-huh.
He believed that you could teach or train fear. So he had a little baby and presented a little white rat or rabbit, uh-huh. white animal.
Yeah.
And every time he presented this little white animal, he shook a can with a lot of noise. And Baby Albert began to cry.
Uh-huh.
And so he repeated, like, again, it sounds sort of Pavlovian, right? You know, dog, saliva,
well, honestly,
food,
it sounds
right?
a little cruel.
It is a little cruel.
Was he eventually jailed?
You couldn't do this nowadays.
Yeah,
you couldn't do this. You know, IRB boards, human subjects, you couldn't get away with it. But through repeated exposure of animal sound, Albert would cry. He then would present other white things, and Albert...
Every time he saw a white thing, he would cry.
He would cry.
Oh, I see.
And that was evidence that you can teach, train, and elicit a certain emotion if it was teamed with certain events.
Oh.
All right, now let's take that to advertising, because I'm tempted to ask you what happened to Baby Albert, and I sense I don't want to know.
I think he grew up to be afraid of white things.
Yeah, that's kind of a high bar if you're not a spelunker for a living.
Well, Watson had a lot of interests, and one of his interests was his graduate student, whom he ended up having a relationship with, even though he was married.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
In the late 19, teens.
Yeah.
That was quite scandalous.
Mm-hmm.
His wife divorced him. He was dismissed from Johns Hopkins
and
found himself without a job.
Yeah,
that's when he started writing
the Wrinkly Hose commercials.
That's right. Well, actually, what he started writing were advertisings for J. Walter Thompson.
Oh, so what were some of his earliest advertising successes?
Some of the classic examples I'd walk a mile for a camel.
I'd walk a mile for a camel.
Right? Sure.
A cigarette ad. Wow, so he went from health to cigarettes
that.
Yeah, he just turned on his fellow man.
Maxler House, Good to the Last Drop.
Okay. Now, how are we using psychology with Good to the Last Drop?
Well, it's teaming with, certain, do you remember seeing that ad? I don't know how old people are.
I remember seeing that.
And the sound?
Yeah,
there was
the
that sound.
Oh, it was like Chinese water torture.
Well, some people thought that was interesting.
It was Chinese coffee torture. No, you mean the one that was like, boop, 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 that sound? Uh-huh. Or just like a slow dripping sound
one.
In the,
right.
oh,
the first
boop,
one.
Boop, 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 boop. Yeah. I know what happened
to people would hear that sound and think coffee and...
Well, it's the entire message about, this is a good cup of coffee. It's good to the last drop. The images were targeting, women at home. And what do they do in the mornings? They make a pot of coffee, and being economical and frugal, they want that coffee to be good to the very last drop.
All right, so let's make this a little more personal, because Paula, you have created a line of T-shirts.
Yes. Well, it's a T-shirt.
Okay, it's the first in a line of T-shirts.
Come to think of it, it's two, because we have the baseball style and the standard style.
So you've created a line of T-shirts.
I've created a line of T-shirts.
Anybody who knows math will tell you that a line is defined by 2 points. So.
That's a line of T-shirts. All right, so I do. I've made T-shirts that are made of a remarkably soft tri-poly blend. And they have a self-portrait on the left breast and a memorable quote on the
I see you're miming that. Did you bring one to show, Dr. Pinchatore?
No, I forgot.
Okay.
I mention them when I'm on stage and I tweet about them, but what's the thing that I need to say?
Well, I think first you have to understand who your audience is. Who are you selling this to? Are you selling it to
Chilean
everybody?
Guy.
The Chilean guy.
Yeah. One Chilean fan
Maybe you could just send it to him.
No. That is an interesting thing.
Exactly.
So what can Paula do?
Not a thing.
Well, first, I would say, you need to help the audience understand why your T-shirt is better than another T-shirt on the street.
Yeah.
What is wearing
well, it is
your
a
T-shirt?
Remarkably soft tri-poly blend.
I feel like your focus on the tri-poly blend.
Maybe
might
you should focus on you.
Yeah, exactly. I think that might be a little bit of an advertising mistake.
Well, one of the things that I tell people about the shirt is that, and this is anecdotal. I haven't done a study, but some people who've worn my T-shirts tell me that they don't need Tinder after they wear my shirt.
So it's a benefit.
It attracts.
You're using sex to sell it.
Sex sells.
That's right.
And is that because of you or the tri-poly blend?
Well, people look good in it. It's a good looking shirt.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is there any? How do you feel about her sales approach to the T-shirts? Is there something more she can be doing? I'll flip over my cards. I personally feel she could reference herself once or twice in the selling of the T-shirts.
What do you
mean? Than you are. I feel like you're selling the fabric and the feel more than you're selling the fact that this is a signature edition Paula Poundstone shirt with a self-portrait that you've drawn and a genuine quote on the back. And I feel like if you focused on that, and back me up, Dr. Pinchot.
That's right.
If you focus on that rather than the fabric...
You can create a whole new, Paula Poundstone groupie by having people wearing your shirts.
You can't get these shirts anywhere else. Right. They have a unique Paula Poundstone self-portrait on the left breast.
Yes.
I think I see what you're saying.
See where I'm going with that.
It's the envy of all the Paula Poundstone fans. It's the envy of one man in Chile. Okay. All right. I'm going to try that. I'll get back to you and I'll let you know.
You also may want to look at your price point.
Oh. My price point? Yeah. What do you think? Meaning?
How much the T-shirt is worth or how much you're selling it for.
I'm selling it for $75. Do you think that's too much?
Maybe
I feel like an idiot.
Yeah, you probably should price it a little more reasonably.
Blend.
It's not about the fabric.
Oh, okay.
Do my something mistake. .99. That tends to help.
Oh, is that true?
.99.
Why does .99 work?
That's the whole psychology of pricing. Even numbers like $2 or do a 2-for-1 special.
Two for once. But it's funny because my manager is always hammering me to do stuff like a two for one special.
She said.
No, I don't agree with that. Because
doing
here's
this.
The thing.
Yeah, now you're mocking.
Here's the thing.
Fight.
Yeah, you know what? I was a little late getting here, and I have no doubt in my mind that my manager cornered you and said, when she asked you about the T-shirts, tell her to put .99. I wonder what company you've worked for that you said to them, make it cheaper, and they went, yeah.
I didn't say necessarily make it cheaper.
What'd you say? You said make it seem cheaper.
Make it seem cheaper, and, present the price so
what
that the buyer thinks they're getting a deal.
What if I say, because I was kidding when I said it was $75. It's not. I think it's $30. But what if I say it was $75 and now it's half off?
That could work.
Yeah.
Would that work?
It's spend to save.
Why does the color red make you hungry?
I don't know, but it does.
The colors change.
The way in which we process emotions. Cool colors make you relax. Hot colors, like if you see the bag here.
Doritos.
Most of the food items here have red packaging on.
Yeah, it's true. We have a table full of junk food. I got to tell you, though, there's all this food on the table, and it's making me hungry. But the one I'm hungriest for is this blue package with the double stuffed Oreos.
Well, I think it's because you like double stuffed Oreos.
Bingo. That's right. See, you're good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, so let's move to another sense that's used in advertising and not discussed a lot. Smell. That's a thing, right?
Right. The primal senses really motivate memory and behavior.
Right.
Right? So, a classic marketing and purchase manipulation behavior was piping the smell of cinnamon in malls. Now, all of a sudden, you're hungry.
At the airport.
Right?
You could smell Cinnabon from anywhere in the airport, and you couldn't even smell jet fuel. It was so clear.
And they were literally piping the smell.
Sure.
Is that legal?
Why not?
Well, because it makes everything stinky. That's my number one answer.
But cinnamon is not a... It's not an offensive smell.
Well, it is when it comes from Cinnabon. And I like junk food, but I just felt like that was so over the top. And the store, like on the 3rd Street Promenade in Santa Monica, that store, Abercrombie & Fark, they put some god... what is it?
Abercrombie & Fitch.
Oh.
See, sex was selling for you.
Oh, my gosh. I've been saying it wrong.
Yeah,
I feel like an idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, they put out some god-awful smell down the, you know, it wasn't just in the store. It was down the street.
And what
street.
Was it the smell of?
Pheromones.
I believe it was soft porn. Mm-hmm. Was the smell of soft porn.
Okay.
Because their posters are also soft porn.
I couldn't even remember what a poster like that is. It's really soft porn and I'm missing it?
No one that they've ever, no poster at Abercrombie and Fitch has ever had the people with their mouths closed.
Oh.
They always look a little bit tired and their mouths are like sort of hanging halfway open. Like, yeah, it's not. I don't
and
find it remotely. I think they think that that is sexy.
It's very tired. What it was? There's a leather store, right? That famously
right,
did that.
Right. The smell of leather for I think it was Wilson Leather. They're no longer
pipe that into the
really?
Malls and stuff.
It's so that you could like, oh, I need a leather jacket or the smell of you know leather
belts.
Well,
I drove cows away.
Yeah.
Never
Wilson Leather had almost no bovine customers.
Yeah, yeah.
Almost.
A lot of, you know, one time it created a stampede.
Really? Out of the mall?
There were some cows.
In the mall.
In the mall, as is their wont. And and the next thing you know, they smell that smell and
wow, just mowed down
very
all
dangerous.
Those seniors.
Very
yeah,
dangerous.
Tragic. All right. Well, thank you, Dr. Gina Pingitore, for teaching us about the art of selling. And having processed all your words in her amazingly capacitous brain, Paula?
It's like a machine.
Yeah, you're
it's like
a machine in there.
Yeah.
Paula, what advice do you have for our listeners about how to sell stuff?
Sell.
And do you want some accompaniment for this?
I do. If Hope could give me a little cello behind my my summary. Sex sells, unless you don't like sex. The color red makes you hungry, and the color white scares the hell out of you if someone shook a can of rocks at you when you saw white things when you were little. Baby Albert spent his entire adult life running from marshmallows. Nothing, and I mean nothing, makes you smarter, more popular, more successful, or sexier than my unique Paula Poundstone t-shirts with a self-portrait on the left breast and a memorable quote on the back, plus it's made of a remarkably soft tri-poly blend. And they're free! If you give me $30.
Psychologist Dr. Gina Pingitore is a senior advisor at Newbridge Consulting. Doctor, thank you so much.
Thank you.
For being on our show. The cat of the week is Hardy from Santa Monica.
The spread of misinformation has fueled our cultural divide and increased our collective anxiety about the future. Tackling misinformation isn't a simple task, but it's important. And that's why I'm so excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that's dismantling New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis.
On the show, a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic walk into a bar, and the bartender says, no, it's not that old joke. They dive deep into current events such as RFK Jr.'s involvement in mainstreaming dangerous anti-vax rhetoric.
Urgh.
They crowdsource, research, analyze, and dream up answers to the problem with, get this, proven science as their ultimate guiding light.
I highly recommend you check out Conspirituality's fascinating episodes on creating comedy in the MAGAverse with Jordan Klepper or RFK Jr. flirting with body fascism.
And you've listened to a bunch of them at this point, Paula, I know, and you tell me you love it.
I do. They're fascinating, and my favorite part is they use, wait for it, proven science.
And
if there's any kids listening, that's a class we used to take. Proven science as their ultimate guiding light. I love that.
From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality podcast will help you stay informed about misinformation and help you resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Jesus fucks.
Get ready for the miracle of Mega, a comedy podcast from the staff of a fictional mega church.
And not only does he f, but he's the best at it.
I'm Holly Loren.
And I'm Greg Hess.
Our characters, Hallie and Gray, welcome a new guest each week, played by some of the biggest names in comedy and podcasting.
Like Scott Aukerman, Lauren Lapkus, Paul Scheer, Jason Mantzoukas, Cecily Strong, and Duncan Trussell.
I just love to think about the light shining down on all those corpses in the water and Noah just going by and maybe a mom being like, please, we're running out of energy. Can you please let us on the boat?
It's completely improvised, and it's devilishly funny.
Is there any question you have for us about, you know, what it means to live a life in Christ?
I guess, how much do you think is bullshit?
There's a new episode every Sunday.
Listen and subscribe to Mega, wherever you get your podcasts.
Best I ever had. Best I... Y'all can do it. Y'all can do it. Y'all sing along. You know what I'm saying? Here go. Jesus, you the best.
Jesus, you're the best.
You to be the best.
Jesus, you're Jesus, the best. You the
be- okay, never
best
mind.
Best I ever had. Best wow. I ever had.
Hey, listener, it's Zach Harper, Amin El-Hassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
We're trying to ascertain?
Yes.
Okay.
Ascertain.
Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is...
Whoa!
Oh, Maze, why'd you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it?
Okay, I think we got it.
Cinefo.
Wherever you get podcasts.
Ennobles us all. Okay, time now for more advice. Now, Paula, on a recent show, we talked about the Logie bugs at your house.
Oh, yeah.
And I got to tell you, I owe you a bit of an apology because shortly after I ridiculed you about these flies, I have them at my house now, too.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
They've been in my house ever since. And they're Logie, too. They're easy
yeah.
to kill.
Yeah, they're very slow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you say that they just appear for once a year and then they're gone.
Yeah. That seems to be their pattern so far.
Well, I've never had them in my house before, but now I've got these big barnstorming fly blimps in my house.
Well, and this is pretty good science. Just talking about these flies create larvae.
That's really not good science.
That's excellent
science.
That's the opposite
of good
science. Exactly how it happened. We talked about it, and the larvae developed there on your back porch, next thing you know.
Now, yeah. You have another big...
I'm having a lot of pest problems. I have there's the Logie fly problem, and
right.
then I have a nectarine tree that is pretty prolific. It has a lot of nectarines. The problem is, every summer, rats come and take a bite out of every single nectarine.
Just a bite.
I don't mind sharing. I'm happy to give them. I'd even do 20-80.
Right.
I'd even take just 20%, let them have 80%. If they would, but they eat just one bite, which is so
the just one bite thing is weird. It's almost like it's a pack of very forgetful rats who have to be reminded that they don't like nectarines again and again and again.
Yeah, right. They have a bite. They go,
this is terrible.
This one will be different. Ah, oh, Jesus.
Oh, I forgot. I like oranges, not nectarines. Hey, yeah. Here's a fruit.
Yeah. Well, also, they're a little bit red, which makes the rat hungry.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Yes, that's true. All right, well, rats, pests, Logie bugs, it's time to call the exterminator. He's got the answers. Please welcome Jordan Leach, supervisor at Unbug Me Pest Control. Jordan, welcome to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone.
Thank you. I got my own theme song there. I like that.
Yeah.
I don't remember that, yeah.
Now, let's get right to Paula's main question, which is, she just wants to eat one damn tangerine this summer. What can she do?
A nectarine.
Nectarine,
but let me ask you something. If a rat, because you know about rats, right?
Yes.
So if a rat eats a bite of a nectarine, do you have to throw the whole thing out, or could you just cut off?
No, you throw the whole thing out,
couldn't
Paula.
You just cut off that section?
Well, they're just taunting you is what they're doing.
Yeah, it seems like it. I'm taking it very personally.
No, actually, with rodents, surprisingly, they really only need 1 ounce of food per day. So when it comes to like a fruit of nectarines, tangerine, whatever it be, they'll just have probably an ounce of it and then be done for the day.
And then they go to a new one because they're like, ew, a rat has touched this.
Pretty much, pretty much. I mean, they like the familiar scent of other rodents. But yeah, when they smell it, it's contaminated. They want to go for something new.
Wow. So what can she do? I mean, they're in her backyard, and she's on a block with lots of other houses.
Right, right. So there's varying things that people can do. A lot of times with trees, even rooftops, there are other branches, other brush that kind of connect, leading access for rodents and other creatures to that source.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of times we just tell people, you know, cut back the brush, try to sanitize the area. That'll help out a lot.
Well, I think it's right next to a fence. So my guess is they walk along that fence. And then they're like, oh, look, another nectarine.
Definitely. Yeah, that's definitely probably an access point. When it comes to actually the tree trunk, a lot of times the animals will try to go up the tree trunk. There's different things you can do for that. We have like this this grease. There's different kinds of grease out there.
There's rat grease?
It's kind of like a tree trunk. You know, tree trunk grease, you put it on the tree trunk.
I've never heard of that.
Yeah, it kind of...
That sounds hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
So... It's and it's also good for pole dancers.
Yeah,
exactly.
Now, is there any way to negotiate with a rat? Is there any way that I could just have a like some sort of rat lawyer come and
lawyer.
And make a split with the rat?
See, we talk about these questions that aren't questions.
I believe the
this
nutcracker.
This is a question.
The nutcracker is pretty good with rodents, I think.
The
so.
Nutcracker?
Yeah, the mouse king. You know?
Oh yeah, yeah, exactly. See, that's how I bring culture into the show.
That's you. Yes, yes, that's
Adam,
better than
Mr.
a cello.
Naysayer. Oh,
yeah, I guess. Naysayer. Want to segue to these big logy flies? What's going on? Is this big logy fly season?
There is a bunch of things going on this season. You know, bed bugs. We got a lot of ants, flies. I myself had a little bit of those large house fly infestations.
At your house?
At my house.
Boy,
yeah.
Boy, so, that is a stupid insect.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I mean, I'll bet your neighbor's
just
not an exterminator,
read the
right?
Truck for God's sake.
Right. Wouldn't you just
in the driveway?
Isn't there a picture on the side of the truck with like a pest being treated badly by someone at your company?
Oh, we have like that little circle with a mark a line through it.
Yeah. And that's
universal symbol.
Right.
Try to
exactly.
keep it humane, you know.
Yeah. But
so you have a big logy fly infestation in your house. What brought it on? Where are they coming from?
Honestly, I believe they were coming through the vents. It was very hot, so a lot of the times these pests are going to try to go inside. So yeah, we have the AC running. I believe they're coming through the vents, and I was kind of like Rambo trying to take them out for a couple days.
Yeah, that's what I've been doing. Yeah.
That doesn't explain my house because I don't have air conditioning. I step outside, and it is so much nicer than it is in my house. So apparently these are just not smart flies. And I have 14 cats. You'd think that at some point the cats would kill those flies, but they're not interested. They don't.
These
I think
are easy
it's,
to kill flies, these
they
big
are.
Ones, too. It's like,
oh, yeah.
That's why I haven't called you, because they all congregate on a couple of different windowsills, and they don't move very fast. And as I said, they're the size of
so
Volkswagen.
So you just kill them yourself?
Yeah.
Wait, you don't have a license.
I negotiate with them.
You negotiate with them, exactly.
I convince them to run into, various swatters at high speed.
Yeah.
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 I think we need to talk about the county about this.
No.
Honestly.
There's no talking to the county.
No, you do know that flies actually perceive things around them in a slower than we do, which is why they're so hard to kill, too. So.
What do you mean?
Well, they have that 180 degree. That their eyes are like the bulges, you know. So they see things from every angle, and they also see things at a slower rate.
So like the world for them is like the Matrix.
Pretty much,
It's seeing everything in bullet time.
Mm-hmm. That's why usually people use a fly swatter. Fly swatters are so fast, it's even too fast for them.
Right. But for these big flies in my house now, I don't know about yours, if fly swatter is, these guys don't operate in bullet time. These guys are just really, really slow. And which, you might not know anything about this, but it's always been a curiosity point. How come there are still crane flies on this planet?
Crane flies?
Yeah, because that's the stupidest animal ever. They're these little things with long, like daddy long legs legs, and they don't fly well. They're very obtrusive. You can see them. They can't get away from you.
Things that look like giant mosquitoes?
Yeah, the things that look like giant mosquitoes that can be caught.
Oh, I didn't know those were crane flies.
Yeah.
I feel so embarrassed. I've been calling them by the wrong name.
What have you been calling them?
I thought they were giant mosquitoes.
No, they're not giant mosquitoes.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, this is so embarrassing. Yeah. Don't you hate it when you called somebody by the wrong name
really
for a long time?
Really awkward. Yeah.
That happened with my dad. Yeah.
Any reason why crane flies are around? Do they deal in volume or something?
Well, I wonder that about a lot of pests. Like, why do these exist when they're so easy to kill? You know? But honestly, for pests like that, it's probably because they just multiply so quickly.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what really
because
what
all
it
you
is.
Have to do is talk about them, and then that creates the larva.
Okay.
Science.
Can you? That's now you're just encouraging her because that's not. Not science.
All right, now my manager, Bonnie, who knows nothing about selling things, she insists that you don't have to kill flies. Well, there's no logic to this, which imagine dealing with that for 20-something years. she insists that you don't have to kill flies because they die in 24 hours.
It depends on the type of fly. Some flies do. Usually it's the smaller,
mayflies.
Yes, the mayflies. And usually the biggest thing for those, you'll find a source of infestation inside the house.
What is a mayfly, though? What is a mayfly?
They're tiny.
Yeah, the really small ones you'll see a lot around garbage.
Not like the house flies.
Yeah, it's another name for them, basically, yes.
Oh, so housefly and mayfly is the same thing.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. Well, okay, but here's the thing. It may be true that they die in 24 hours, but if they're landing on your food or they're, you know, menacing your head and they're buzzing around you, then you would want to get rid of them
regardless of how long they intend to live.
Right, exactly. As opposed to waiting 24 hours. Mm. I mean, if I step out onto Miranda Street in a few minutes and a guy comes up to me with a gun, but he's on his last day of life.
Yeah.
He's still
a threat.
Right, exactly.
He's still
the
a threat.
The fact, if I just wait him out, you know, he's...
You're not going to be like, well, with that cough, I just have to stall him for a little while.
By the way, I just want to say this. When I went out to use the bathroom earlier, I'm pretty sure that I saw a guy throwing up in a shrub out there.
Did he have a nice haircut?
I was going to say, it must have been one hell of a bad haircut.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Those guys were getting high, I was told, while they were cutting hair. So that's...
Okay.
So here's the thing, and it might tie together our two things that we talked about tonight. On late night television, I saw an ad for a humane housefly trap. And it just kind of swirls. It's like a little disc where the opening swirls around and gets... And you end up with this like frisbee full of houseflies, so you could presumably take it out and let them go elsewhere.
Right.
Unlike things like spiders, which I like to let go elsewhere, is letting flies go in another part of your neighborhood a great idea?
Well, those traps you're specifically talking about, yes, are for the tiny houseflies, the mayflies. They really are there. They don't let anything else bigger than that in. So when it comes to releasing the houseflies, they're not going to live very long anyway. So.
Right. Oh, okay. Well, why release? You know, you have to release them quickly because they only have 24 hours to live.
Right. So, come on, little guys, you can make it. I'm going to get you to a nice park. You're going to spend the rest of your time in a park, you'll see. Now breathe, damn it. Breathe.
Yeah, that seems like an odd product if they don't get those. One question I have, because, you know, I've had ant farms a number of times when my kids were little. I'm a big ant admirer. I like their work ethic and... you know, you put them into the farm, and they get to work tunneling right away. I mean, there's very little, they're very low drama. They just get right in and get to work, and they have a burial. It depends on the kind of ants, as I'm sure you know, but some of them, they make a room for a burial. In fact, at this point, I just have one ant.
This is going somewhere.
Yes.
Left in my ant farm.
The millennial ants don't work as hard, just saying. So.
Yeah.
Oh, the millennial ants. Yeah, that's right. And
tweet about what they do.
Yeah, and you have to keep thanking them.
Pictures of crumbs all the time on Instagram.
You have to keep thanking them for everything they do.
Yeah.
Well, here's what I can't figure out. I can't keep my ants alive in my ant farm, and I can't seem to kill them in the kitchen. What's going on? First of all, why can't I keep them alive in the farm? How long are they supposed to live?
So the ants themselves, there's varying degrees of different kinds of ants, you know. We've got specific types out here in L.A., Southern California. And ants, they're looking, they have shelter, they have access to water. They come into people's residences looking for food. That's the main source they're looking for, which is why the anthills, the sources, the nests themselves are never going to be inside the residences. They might be in some burrows in the cracks and crevices and whatnot, but for the most part, they're going to be outside, and they're just coming in for the food. That's why they're really difficult to treat on the inside, too, because they're going to come in, you can kill whatever you see, but that doesn't stop the rest of the nest. You might see maybe a couple hundred, and that's just a small percentage of the size of the nest. Most nests are around 10,000, maybe up to 100,000 ants.
Yikes.
You know, my manager, Bonnie, seems to believe that if you have two ant mounds, that if you put one ant mound in with the other...
Bring a bunch of ants from one mound to the other.
Right. That it will cause ant war, and they'll kill each other off. Is that
I tested this when I was younger. I have seen an ant war take place. I can't say whether or not it's going to exterminate the nest, because I think there will be one prevailing side, and then they're going to be even stronger because they've prevailed.
But, oh, right. I mean, so what you've done is you've made, like, uber strong ants.
You made
ants.
Super ants, yes.
Yeah, so Paula's manager, Bonnie, is breeding a race of super ants that we are all going to have to deal with for generations
right.
to come.
Yeah, yeah.
Sounds
they're,
like
they're
it,
gonna
yes.
They're going to come to my house and demand CDs and T-shirts for half off.
Yeah, only if you fix that price point, Paul.
Yeah.
Okay, now, here's some just quick questions. Here's a real quick one. When a fly lands on your food, how bad is that? What's the 5-second rule for flies that you should, like, not touch your food anymore?
Personally, I mean, it does depend from person to person. Personally, I know where flies usually tend to go, and they love feces, they love garbage. Whenever a fly is touching a food that I'm eating, I will either cut off that piece of the food, or I'm just going to throw it out.
Okay, yeah. So immediately.
Pretty much,
there's
yeah.
no 5-second rule.
I wouldn't trust it, yeah.
Okay, great. Hanging bags filled with water
Can
and pennies
you
over your door.
Can you ask a fly where it's been?
No! He's just trying to save that nectarine.
I just came from a little pile of poop over there on the corner. But I just have a bite of your tuna fish, if you don't mind.
Then you'd be like, no, I got to throw out this tuna
yeah,
fish.
Yeah, got to throw it out.
The bag of pennies in the doorway.
Do you know about that?
Do you know about that one?
Actually, I don't. Talk
okay.
about that.
Yeah. I'm told that if you hang a plastic bag with water and a few bright copper pennies over the door that leads to the outside in your house, it confuses flies and they won't go in.
Interesting.
And
I actually...
Also, who was it that was killing the people of Israel and they had to paint the red goat blood on their
Ramses,
door?
Ramses?
No, it was God.
Oh, it was God?
Yeah.
Oh, so if you hang a bag of pennies in water over your door, will God skip your house with blight?
It's completely unrelated. That was the 10th of the 10th plagues, slaying of the firstborn. You paint lamb blood on your door to let you know that you're not an Egyptian, and then God was going to pass over your house.
Oh, is that where Passover comes from?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yes.
So what is it? Oh, so
I don't
it
want to
same?
Turn this
so
into a yeshiva.
So there's a fly Passover.
It has nothing to do with flies. Although flies were to stipulate one of the other 10 plagues.
It's a plague of flies.
Yeah,
yes.
It's a plague of flies. That's why flies always yell, "Keep the change."
Right. That's exactly what it is.
So they would fly over and see them. They're like, "Okay, we're gonna have some water. Everybody, come on this way. Here's water. We love water." And they're like, shit, there's pennies in there.
Right. Let's just let everybody know never to come near this house because they're fucking with your head.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. Let's paint some lamb's blood. This is the same story.
It is not.
This is a biblical story.
It's not a biblical story
at all. You've confused your religion
one.
With extermination.
Well, Jordan, thank you for your insights into the world we try to avoid. Paula, what advice do you have for our listeners about dealing with vermin, bugs, and other noxious creatures?
Hope. Could you give me a little pest control summary backup music? Big flies might come in seeking air conditioning. They live longer than 24 hours, no matter what your manager says. Flies hate pennies and tend to round up. Rats fill up on 1 ounce of food per day, and you can put grease on your fruit tree trunk and create a rat slip and slide. You have to have a license to do pest control, so Adam Felber is on his way to the big house.
All right. Jordan Leach is a supervisor at Unbug Me Pest Control. Thank you, Jordan.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jordan. I need to eat a double stuff Oreo now, and that is not a paid commercial endorsement. I just like double stuffs.
Wonderful. Thank you, Hope. It's a wonderful tune. And I've said it before, but I'll say it again. If you have a theme song for us, email it to nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com. Now, Paula, I know you're always out on the road. What you got coming up?
I'm going to be in Vineyard Haven, Massachusetts on August 19th at the Martha's Vineyard Performing Arts Center. And on August 24th, I'll be at the Holland Center in Omaha, Nebraska. You can get all the information at my website, www.paulapoundstone.com. You can even buy T-shirts there.
And while we're shamelessly promoting things, let's share with our listeners how Maximum Fun works.
No, I felt shame.
Okay. Okay, if you feel shame, then we won't... It's not shameless, is it?
No.
All right, but that's good. A little bit of shame is good. My mom always said that. Okay, it's like Maximum Fun is like public radio. You become a supporter of Maximum Fun at any level you want. And if you like the show, you can donate money directly to the show that you like.
Now, give us a good review on Apple Podcasts, and please subscribe. Adam, remember we had the car repair guy from Whitney Auto?
Yeah, that was Darren from Whitney Auto. And our listeners are actually writing in and asking if Whitney Auto ever got paid for the repair on that Saab. If you remember, the guy
said,
oh, I got to make sure that it's working right. And he test drove it away and never came back.
Right, yeah. Right. And almost hit the car guy's dad, right?
Yeah, exactly. And we spoke with Roger Bart, Darren's father, and he told us that they never got paid because they never got the guy's signature. The car was towed onto their lot. They did the repair. Then the guy shows up, gets in the car, roars off, no signature, no paper trail. They complained to the DA, and he said there was nothing they can do without a signature on record.
Wow.
So that's a sad follow-up.
It is a sad follow-up. Plus, it's like a detail. It's like a tutorial in crime.
Yeah, it's how to get your car repaired for free.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yeah, it's not the right thing. You know, I think that means that people out there have been listening.
Well, I hate to break it to you, but they've just been hearing and not really listening. Because, as we've stipulated, nobody listens to Paula Poundstone. Our show is hosted by Paula Poundstone and yours truly, Adam Felber. Produced by Paula Poundstone, Adam Felber, Bonnie Burns, and Ken Lezepnik, along with Tony Anita Hull. Technical direction by Ray Horseman. Special thanks to tonight's house band, Hope Easton. And to our guests, Dr. Gina Pingitore and Jordan Leach. Muscle to escort them back to their cars, provided by Ben Lezebnik.
And please tune in next week for our special show coming to you from the garden level apartment of Bud Bodenkamp in Boonville, Missouri.
No, it isn't.
He has built a wrestling ring in his basement, and Adam and I will engage in mixed martial arts.
Although I am confident I could take you down within the confines of the squared circle, I highly doubt that's going to happen.
Hi-ya! I was just seeing if you were listening. That's our show for tonight. Won't somebody please listen to me?
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.